night, and I thought, wow, I didn't know my voice had went down that much just in a few hours. Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. Find, if you would, please, verse number 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the sweet spirit here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. God, I thank you for your hand upon this pastor, this man of God, this people, what you're doing in this city, this county. Lord, our world through this ministry, I stand amazed. I'm blessed. Father, I pray you'll meet with us tonight. Let Christ be magnified. I pray, Lord, you'd grow us tonight. Challenge us. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts individually. Help us to be responsive to you, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, it sure is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? If I sort of hiccup a little bit, or you see me a little bit of smoke come out of my mouth. We ate at the smoke pit. Is that what it's called? Smoke pit. I ate so much that I almost feel like that I'm pulled pork right now. I got enough to take me to the feed me at the house tonight. It was good. Thank you for giving me a place to crash today and rest, and I'm thankful for that. The good hospitality, the kindness, the gift basket, everything. I'm telling you, everything here at Tabernacle Baptist Church is first class. And Pastor, thank you, and thank you to your people. You're so kind, and more than I deserve, and I'm thankful for it. I'm reminded of a fella. He and his wife had gone shopping together, and they got separated. They evidently, she had been in one store and looked around. He was gone, and she called him, and she said, "Honey," she said, "you know, we were shopping, and I don't know where you're at. Where are you?" And he said, "Well, honey, you remember that jewelry store a few years back that we were in together, and you remember that diamond necklace that we looked at together, just really couldn't afford it right then. You remember all that?" And she said, "You know, mist began to come to her eyes, and you know, she began to melt in her heart." And she said, "Honey, I do remember," and all that. He said, "Well, I'm in the gun store next door." That wasn't funny. Okay. I don't think that went over well. What do y'all think? That's probably where I'd have been, the gun store next door. You know, anyway. My wife's not here tonight, so I can get by with it. And so it's all good. Well, it sure is good to be here. We're in the book of Hebrews tonight. We've looked at Hebrews chapter 11 and read the first six verses. We need to recognize the book of Hebrews was written to a group of Jewish believers that had stalled in their Christian journey. Matter of fact, they had gotten plateaued. Some of them, even because of persecution and difficulty, were going back. They were going back to Judaism and a place of safety. And in the midst of that, they had sort of stalled in their lives. And maybe that's where you are tonight. Maybe you've plateaued. Maybe you're sort of just stalled in your own Christian life. I mean, you're not really going forward, but you're not going backward. Can I remind you what one lady said and told me? She came up after a meeting and she said, "Preacher, I just want you to know, as I was tracking your message, it came to me that if you're coasting, you're always going downhill." When you and I begin to coast in our spiritual lives, where we're not going forward, we're going backward, like the people of Hebrews, they were going backward, and God is telling them, I want you to go on. I want you to move forward in your spiritual life. That's the heart of the book. You're going to find there's a key word in the book of Hebrews. It's the word better. It's found 13 times. It means greater. It means superior. He's reminding them that we have a better person. It's not Moses and it's not Aaron, it's the Lord Jesus. We have a better priest. Aren't you glad we don't have an earthly priest, we have a heavenly high priest. Isn't that wonderful tonight? I have an advocate. An advocate. He's not just my defense attorney, he's my friend. We have a better place, and we don't worship in an earthly sanctuary, but a heavenly sanctuary. We can go right into the presence of God. We live by better promises. We have a better provision. It's not the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but it's the precious blood of Christ. You're going to find that we not only have a better person and a better priest and a better place and better promises and better provision, but we have a better principle. We live by faith. We come to Hebrews chapter number 11. It's the faith chapter of the Bible. It's been given many names. It's been called the Heaven's Hall of Faith. It's been called the Heroes of Faith, the Roll Call of the Faithful. We know as we read through its verses that it records the testimonies of ordinary men and women, just ordinary people like you and me. They're made out of the same stuff that you and I are. Sometimes we get the idea that somehow the men and women of the Bible were just cut out of a different mold. That somehow that their stuff that they were made out of is different from us. But yet the Bible tells me that Elijah was a man of like passions. Like had the same weaknesses, same struggles, same issues that you and I have. I just want to tell you, they're the same stuff that you and I are. And yet God wrought extraordinary things in their lives, didn't He? But can I tell you they're really not the heroes? God is. Nowhere do you find that man is the hero of the Bible. It's really not about them. It's about Him. To remind us, it's not what they did, but it's what God did through them. And can I say to Tabernacle Baptist Church tonight, God has not changed. He's not changed. He still works wonders in the lives of His people. He's working through His churches like Tabernacle Baptist Church. About forgot where I was at, preacher. The people, His people. Hey, listen, He's no respecter of persons. Listen, He's not a God who worked in Abraham's life but is unwilling to work in your life. Don't ever forget that. Can I remind us that He still works wonders in the lives of His people in response to faith? He's looking for a man and a woman, a young man, a young lady willing to trust Him. He's looking for a church that's willing to trust Him. God wants to do something great in your life, in your family, young person, your future tonight. He does. He wants to work greatly in this church. Can I remind you that the Christian life is first and foremost a journey of faith. It commences in faith the day we're saved. It continues by faith. And one day it'll conclude in faith when our faith becomes sight. The Bible says it's from faith to faith. Faith on top of faith. Faith, listen, one step of faith to the next step of faith. Can I tell you that's never more true in the area of stewardship. Stewardship involves faith. It does. It involves faith tonight. And we want to understand what it means to live by faith. Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, faith looks to God. Faith looks to God. Can I help you to understand tonight that faith is only as good as the object in which it's placed? Matter of fact, tonight I can take a bottle of whatever it is, and I can have all kinds of faith in this particular medicine or whatever it is. But do you realize tonight that my faith is only as good as the object? It is. You exercise faith every day of your life. What I mean by that is we'll go out in the morning and we'll go to our car and we'll put the key in the ignition and we'll turn it. And you know what? We'll be surprised if it doesn't crank. Well, most of the time, right? We'll go to the doctor like I did. This for electronic prescriptions. And they'll write on a piece of paper words and that you and I can't pronounce, and it's a scribble you and I can't read. I think that pharmacists have to go to school so long just to read doctor's handwriting back then. I bet they don't have to go to school as long now. And we'll go and we'll take that prescription to the pharmacist and they'll fill it, and we'll come home and we don't know what's in that medicine. But you know what? By faith, we'll take that medicine and we'll expect it to work in our lives. We take it by faith. And can I tell you that it's no different, that God's saying to us that just as you and I would trust our car to crank, just as we'd trust a prescription to work, we ought to trust Him to work in our lives. Listen, if I can trust earthly things, how much more should I be able to trust the living God? Isn't that right? Faith looks to God. When I come to this passage, I realize that the opening verses are not so much a definition of faith as they are a description of it. They don't tell us so much about what it is as of what faith does and how it works in our lives. Look at verse number 1. He's going to talk about its substance. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. When you think of that word substance, it refers to something under you that's firm and solid. It describes something that we stand on. That's what it is. A good term would be a foundation. Now, faith is the foundation of things hoped for. That's what he's saying. Faith is foundational to the Christian life. Faith is to the Christian, the child of God, what a foundation is to a house. Now, wait a minute. If the foundation is strong, then guess what? The house is strong. But boy, I'm going to tell you, if the foundation is weak, the house will collapse. And can I help you understand something? If you have weak faith tonight, your house will collapse. It's not so much the size of our faith, it's just the size of our God. I'm convinced that weak faith means that we look at life through a little God. We fail to remember who He is. The Bible talks about the disciples and they go from no faith. He asks them, how is it you have no faith? Here are men of God and men who have walked with Jesus, and how is it you have no faith? Well, you know what he never did? It's amazing. He never said, Peter, you just need to back up on this faith stuff. You just trust me too much. He never said, now John, now whoa buddy, whoa now, you're just believing me. He never did. He said, oh ye of little faith. You know what he said? Little faith. Then he talks about faith as he does here. But isn't it amazing that it was a Gentile Syrophoenician woman that he said, "O woman, great is thy faith." You know what I understand? That listen, we can go from no faith to little faith to great faith. And you know what? God wants you and I to be a people who's willing to step out by faith and believe Him and build our lives upon the greatness of our God. It's faith that will establish us and support us and stabilize us. Listen, we don't stand on the shifting sands of human opinion, but on the bedrock of thus saith the Lord. Romans 10:17, the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Simply put, faith is hearing God and believing what He said. It's taking Him at His word. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many believe this Bible, this book is inspired? How many believe it's inerrant? How many believe it's infallible? Hey, just say amen tonight if you believe that. We ought to build our lives upon the bedrock of God's truth tonight. The Bible will grow your faith. Little time in the Word, little faith. Much time in the Word, much faith. Then we not only see it, it's not only see its substance, he talks about its evidence. Notice he said the evidence of things not seen. It speaks of conviction, proof of something. Christian faith is objective. It's based on facts, not fiction. Faith is not believing in spite of the evidence, but because of the evidence. You have a historical faith. You may deny the resurrection, but you can't disprove it. You can't disprove it. Do you know that Jesus Christ is mentioned by at least 10 different historians outside of the Bible? A person may deny that Jesus lived, but they can't disprove it. Peter said we didn't give you cunningly devised fables. We're not taking a leap in the dark. No, it's a leap in the light. Our faith is based on the evidence of the Word of God. It's trust in the unseen, not the unknown. Bible faith is the inner conviction that what God has promised, He will perform. And never is that more true than in this matter of Christian stewardship. The giving of ourselves to God, our resources to God. We make a decision now by faith to set life priorities, to serve in a certain area, give a certain amount to God, maybe to begin to tithe without knowing the future, but yet trusting God to bring His promises to pass in our lives. Listen, we live by faith and not by sight. You'll sit down. We do this all the time. We'll sit down at a car dealership. We'll sit down at a bank and we'll buy land, a house, and we'll make a down payment. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what our health's going to be. We don't know what the economy's going to be. But you know what we'll do? We will say this, by faith, for the next 30 years, I'm going to pay you such and such amount of money. Isn't that what we do? Yet when it comes to God, God, I don't know if I can do this tithing thing. I don't know if I can give to missions, God. You know, I just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I don't know how our health's going to hold out, and I don't know about my job, and I don't know about the economy, God. I'm just not sure about this thing. It's amazing, we'll trust ourselves, but we won't trust our God. I'm not trying to beat us up tonight. I'm just trying to remind us. I'm just talking to us tonight to help us to understand that we already live by faith. But listen, can I tell you, I'll let myself down, but God will never let me down. I can't control my health. I can't control my future. I can't control the economy. I'm not bigger than all of those things, but my God is tonight. Isn't that right? Young person, can I tell you, it's amazing. Young people will plan their lives. I'm going to go to such and such a college. I'm going to do such and such a career. I'm going to be such and such as this. And we begin to work out our own lives and we think, well, I'm going to have this and I'm going to have that and I'm going to have the other without ever bringing God into the equation of our lives. God, what do you want for my life? God, what do you desire for me? God, what is it? Can I help us understand something? That young person, young adult, listen to me tonight. God is able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or even think. That tells me God has a bigger imagination than you do. I can never fathom what God would do with my life. I didn't know when God saved me at 17 years of age and called me to preach at 18 years of age that God would allow me to pastor two wonderful churches, to invest in Bible college students, to do the things that I'm doing. I had no idea. I couldn't imagine my life. I couldn't have planned it out any better than God. I just told my wife, I said, you know, listen, I just want to enjoy the journey because it gets better and better. Or like we like to say in the South, gooder and gooder. And that don't mean everything's good in my life all the time. I went through health crises and I didn't know if I was going to live or not. You prayed for me. Many of you pray. Some of you know, maybe you don't have that history with me as others do that have known about me. You prayed for me. But you know what? I just want you to know those that did know about my journey and you did pray for me, God answered your prayer. I'm here tonight because somebody prayed for me. Amen. Somebody believed God for me. God can. Tabernacle Baptist Church, God will stop working when you stop believing. You ought to jot that down. You ought to write it in the fly leaf of your Bible. God will stop working when we stop believing. The last words of a dying church is, we've never done it that way before. You ever notice this? And I don't know why I'm going here. I'm just having fun. Is that okay? You know, have you ever noticed the things that God did in the Bible He had never done before, like parting the Red Sea? He had never done that before. Parting the Jordan River? He had never done that before. Pulling the walls of Jericho down? God had never done that before. So it reminds me of a new pastor, and he went to his church, and he went to the young boys' Sunday school class, 7th, 8th grade, and he said, I want to see where these boys are at. And he said, the boys, I just want to find out now, who tore the walls of Jericho down? Those boys come back like that, and they, every one, said they didn't do it. He was so torn up about that. He went to the deacons and he said, guys, he said, I can't believe it. I was teaching the boys Sunday school class and I asked them who tore down the walls of Jericho. And they didn't know who did it. They didn't know who did it. And one of the deacons, he said, well, preacher, I can tell this is bothering you. He said, but I've known these boys since they were little. And if they said they didn't do it, they didn't do it. I think we just ought to take some money out of the budget and we need to rebuild them walls so it'll quit bothering you. Can I tell you, God's done all kinds of things He's never done before. And there's going to be things that He does in your life that He's never done before. He's going to take you through things you've never been before. Right then when I sort of stepped right there, my wife would have had a heart attack if she was here, as good as she wasn't. Folks, God wants to do something great. Through faith, and not only do we see its description, but now I want you to look at its discernment very quickly tonight. Look at verse number 3. Through faith we understand. Do you realize that faith does not abdicate the mind? God does not, this word understand means to know in the mind. It has to do with the intellect. Faith is as intellectual as it is spiritual. We live in a world that wants to make us feel like that we're stupid because we believe a Bible. That we're stupid, that we talk to a God we can't see. That God talks to us, by the way. They want to make us feel stupid that we believe God. God created the entire universe in 6 literal 24-hour days. But yet, when I read what the evolutionist says, it's a whole lot easier to believe what God says. It just is. That all of this just happened. They'll tell you that there is no scientific evidence for evolution. None whatsoever. There's absolutely no missing links. Now, I know you thought you've seen a couple, but you didn't. And it's interesting that for evolution, it's never done. It's always, for them, it's always ongoing. But you know what's amazing to me? The last time I've looked around, I've not seen anything that's sort of half this, half that, or in that middle ground section. Evidently, it's all arrived. Does that make any sense? Yeah, boys and girls, let me just tell you something. You never let anybody ever tell you that you're an accident. That somehow that you're some kind of cosmic accident. Can I tell you, you are the special creation of God of the universe that loves you, has a plan for your life, that knew you before you were ever in the womb and loves you more than you could ever imagine, sent His Son to die for you, wants you to live your lives fully for Him. That's what He desires. Don't anybody ever tell you different. I'm feeling better tonight. You must have prayed for me today. Notice the Bible said, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, that God spoke. Do you realize that that word frame means to set in order? It describes the creative genius and power of God. Faith looks at the beauty of a sunset. It listens to the singing of the birds, stands in awe at the grandeur of a mountain waterfall, proclaims, my God, how great Thou art. Do you realize an atheist looks at the same sunset and listens to the same birds and stands at the same waterfall and has no one to think? Thank. Y'all tell I'm from the South, mountains of North Carolina. Can I tell you, we tell children a story about a princess kissing a frog and it turns into a handsome prince. We call it a fairy tale, but you take the same story, dress it up in intellectual rhetoric, put it in a classroom with somebody in a white coat, and we call it science. Can I help us to understand, when it comes to the origins of the universe, the humanist looks to human reason and chance. The Christian looks to God. What the so-called scientist only speculates, God states without stammer and without apology. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. 8 times God spoke in Genesis 1, and a physical, creative miracle took place. God said, let there be, and there was. Matter of fact, God spoke and the universe lit up like a Roman candle. God spoke and the mountains began to rise and the oceans began to roll. God spoke and the sun began to shine and the stars began to twinkle. God spoke and the birds began to fly and the fish began to swim. God spoke and men began to walk and women began to shop. Psalm 33 verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord are the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. There's nothing too hard for God. The God, the Creator of the universe. Think about it. What is too hard for God? But not only does it describe the and discern the power of God, but it discerns the promises of God. Do you realize the God who created the universe feeds the birds? I've learned how He does that. I preach in so many places, I don't remember what I say sometimes. And if I've said this here, will you please forgive me? But I've learned how God takes care of birds. He does it through older people like me. When I was young, when I was a young parent, okay, and I could barely put food on the table, all right? I mean, I couldn't imagine preacher having a bird feeder and buying bird seed. Is everything I could do just put a chicken on the table for my kids and biscuits? Anybody say amen? You know what I'm talking about. Them slim years, you know what I'm saying? Now my kids are grown. When they grown, got out of the house, you know, they need to get married so I can have some grandyoungins, okay? So if you're available, let me know tonight, okay? You're 20 in your mid-20s, you know, let me know tonight. I need grandkids. If they heard me saying this, I'm dead. And Brother Burroughs tonight, you just keep this to yourself, all right? Would you do that for me? All right, thank you. And his daughter and my daughter are best friends. And if it got to his daughter, you get to my daughter, and then I'm in trouble. How many know what I'm talking about? Say amen right there. I couldn't imagine it. Now I'm older. My wife and I, we don't have one bird feeder. We have two. If it starts getting low, I said, honey, I got to go to the store and buy the bird some food. I know how he does it. I'm sure. I had no idea 25 years ago, preacher. No, but God feeds the birds and He clothes the flowers. And that's the same God who said, I'm going to take care of you. He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Don't be anxious for your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat or food, and the body than raiment or clothing? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Have you ever noticed a bird get up early in the morning and watch the birds? They wake up early. Could you imagine a world when birds doesn't sing? Aren't you glad God allows birds to sing? It just blesses me. I like to get up early and hear them sing. And you ever watched a bird get up in the morning and, boy, I don't know what I'm going to do today. I don't know. They have toenails. I mean, we bite fingers. Have you ever seen a bird with its foot, whatever you call it, in its mouth, just nibbling away? I wonder if there's a worm out there today. I wonder if the robins ate them all yesterday. I don't know if there's going to be anything today. Maybe all the bugs are gone. I just don't know. What? Maybe something happened during the night and there's no. They don't do that. They just wake up. Jump off that little branch onto the ground, hop around a little bit, right down in the ground, and out comes the worm, up comes the insect, up comes whatever it is. God, they don't worry about it. God feeds them. And yet you and I, we bite our fingernails to the quick, we wring our hands, we shorten our lives filled with anxiety and worry about tomorrow, and God said, I will take care of you. What He said. Are ye not much better than they? He says you're more value than many sparrows. Never ceases to amaze me how we can trust God with the salvation of our souls but fail to trust Him with our everyday lives. Faith looks to God. Number two, get it? Faith leads to action. Look again at verse number 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith is not just something we think. It's something we do. Just as love is spelled obedience, so faith is spelled obedience. It's an action. It's more than just an attitude. It's an attitude that results in action. By it the elders. The men and women of Hebrews chapter 11 bore witness, wondrous testimony to the power of a living faith in the living God. Notice by it refers to faith, mentioned 23 times in chapter 11. No less than 23 times God says that by faith, through faith, or in faith, they did something. Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark. Abraham, when he was called to go to a place, went out, not knowing whither he went. The walls of Jericho compassed them, they said, about 7 days, and they fell down flat. They did great exploits for God because God told them to do something, and they did it. They trusted and they obeyed. Listen, there's some things you just don't have to pray about. You just do it because God said do it. God was challenging them and He's challenging us tonight. Maybe that there needs to be an area of surrender in a person's life. Maybe a young couple, you need to surrender your lives to God. Surrender your family to God. Maybe a young adult, you need to surrender your future to God. Maybe there's an area of your life you just need to, you've been worrying about it, you've been fretting about it, you've been allowing it to eat you up inside. Maybe tonight you need to bring it to the altar and you need to surrender it to God. You need to leave it right here. You say, well, preacher, I'll just take it back with me. Why? Why? Give it to God. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. Psalm 55, verse 22. Maybe it's serving an area of ministry. Maybe God's been moving on your heart to get involved in a different area this year. You know, that's stewardship. Maybe you have gifts and abilities. You realize that some people are talented. I'm not talented. I can't even build a birdhouse and make all four sides fit, okay? I told my wife, God hadn't called me to preach, we'd have starved. But some of you got gifts and abilities that you can use for the work of God. And you know what? We don't always have to get paid for it. Sometimes I'm just, God's freely giving it to me. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to do something here at the house of the Lord. And by the way, if you're saved tonight, you're gifted by God. You have a spiritual gift. Say, preacher, I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. You don't have to. Just make yourself available. And as God works through your desires and all of that, God's going to use your giftedness to edify this body of believers. And maybe you just need to get involved. Maybe it's to share your faith on the job or among a family member. Maybe it's beginning to tithe. Maybe it's increasing to the offering. Maybe it's giving the full tithe instead of the net. You're giving off the gross. Maybe God wants you to increase your faith promise. I don't know what it is, but God wants to challenge you tonight. We need to respond by faith. Are you going to step out in faith? Are you going to do what God asks you to do? Are you going to draw back in fear? It's the person who steps out and gets a blessing. Can I help you to look back at chapter 10, verse 38 and 39? So these are some of the most misunderstood two verses in the Bible. The Bible says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Remember what Hebrews 11, 6 says, that without faith it's impossible to please Him. Isn't that right? All right. So we draw back, we'll have no pleasure in Him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition. Automatically, you see that word perdition, you think hell and the lake of fire. That's not what that word means at all. That word has the idea, when you study the word, it has the idea of something coming to ruin. Something spoiling. It's the idea behind it. And then he says, but believing to the saving of the soul. I'm not talking about somebody getting saved from hell. He's talking about the saving of the soul in the sense of your spiritual life and journey becoming everything God wants it to be. We don't draw back. We don't draw back and lead to spiritual ruin. Oh no, we step out by faith and know the blessing and the goodness and the greatness of God in our lives. We're embracing all that God has for us. That's what he's talking about. And God said, I just don't have any pleasure in the Christian that wants to live back here. I don't have any pleasure in that. But I have pleasure in the Christian that wants to step out by faith and trust me. God doesn't have any pleasure in the church that wants to live back here, that wants to circle the wagons and hold the fort till Jesus comes. No, God's looking for a church that's going to by faith step out and trust Him. That's what God's looking for in our day. You say, preacher, you don't understand. It was easier for them. You just don't know how hard it is to be a Christian in our day. You ever notice that anytime any of these people that we read about here in Hebrews 11, when you read the story of their life, every time they stepped out by faith, they always faced some kind of opposition. For Abraham, he walked into the land that God had for him and up came a famine. Noah faced ridicule for 120 years. Moses, the riches of Egypt, the fear of Pharaoh, Israel entering the promised land, there were the walls of Jericho. I promise you, you commit to being a faithful steward of God. And maybe tonight, today you're going to commit to the tithe and you start out, everything's wonderful, and then something unexpected happens. Now, you come up and you got more month than money. You gave your 10% of your income away and the devil's beating you up. And what are you going to do? And how are you going to pay your bill? Are you going to quit? You going to give up? You going to tell me that faith doesn't work? Or are you going to forge ahead in faith and watch God work and do the impossible in your life? I remember as a young pastor, we didn't have a whole lot. I pastored a very small church and we didn't have a whole lot. And I remember there was a bill we just couldn't pay. We always, first check, we wrote. Now, by the way, we still write checks. I got guys on my staff. They don't know what a check is. They don't more know how to write. You know, I'm standing in line with, I got these young guys on my staff, you know. And we go eat together, you know. And they're pulling out plastic. And then they start moving up with their phone and touching stuff. And I'm like, where's that come from? And I pull out my billfold, you know, and I got this green stuff called cash. And I said, y'all still take that? I just wanted to make sure because I don't know how all that other stuff works, but I know how cash works. You say, preacher, how come you use cash? Because my wife wants me to see it leave my billfold. That's why. And realize that I'm running down on, you know, anyway. I can just tell you something. Anytime you step out in faith to do something for God, there's going to be tests and challenges along the way. You are. When you step out by faith and give your life to God, doesn't mean that you're not going to face hardship or difficulty. I remember, and I forgot what my story was. That's getting old, preacher. That's what that was. I didn't know where I was going with all that stuff. I remember bringing my little family around us and telling my children, kids, we can't pay for this. We're going to pray. I remember my children as we prayed together and asked God to do something. We didn't tell anybody but God. I remember when God answered the prayer out of the blue. In a way totally unexpected. And we were able to go back a couple weeks later and say, kids, do you know that problem we had? You know, we couldn't pay this bill. And we know. Well, let me tell you what God did. God just wanted to show himself strong to my children. He wanted to show himself strong to me. Amen. My daughter was in Bible college. She's in her senior year. You have to have your bill paid off. You know all about this. To be able to take your exams and graduate. That's a way we leverage and hold it over your head to get our money as a college. That's what we do, okay? Well, your pastor was never an issue. But anyway, she called me and she said, Dad, she said, I'm about $600 short on my school bill. And I said, honey, I'm sorry to hear that. She said, well, Dad, I know what she's doing. She's calling me, want me to write a check. And Daddy wasn't going to write a check. I wasn't going to do it. Could I have? Well, yeah, I probably could have. But here's what I understood. She's getting ready to graduate from Bible college and she couldn't live off my faith. I said, honey, maybe you need to go tell God about it. Hey, Daddy, what are you talking about? You, honey, maybe you need to pray. Tell God about your need. She was sort of, okay. I didn't write the check. I didn't pay the bill. I remember about a month later, she called me all so excited all the way from the West Coast. And she said, Daddy, she said, you ain't going to believe it. She said, I asked God and he paid my bill. I don't know who paid that bill. I know God did. I have no idea who paid that bill. I have no idea where it came from. I don't know how it got there, but I know that. And you know what? That day she learned that she can trust God. You know what God's going to do? He's going to become a time whenever you step out by faith, he's going to put you through a test. Church, listen, not only will God test people, he will test churches. He will test churches. Whether or not we're willing, when the times get tough, it gets hard, whether or not we're going to believe him or whether we're going to draw back. Let me give you the last thing. I know I've been preaching for a while. Now, you're so easy to preach to. I always love it when your pastor invites me to come preach here. It's one of my favorite places to come. Number three, faith lands God's favor. Did you catch it? Faith looks to God. Faith leads to action. And faith lands God's favor. You remember back in verse 2, a good report. What's the good report, preacher? It's verse number 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if not believing God doesn't please him, then believing God does please him. Do you catch that? It lands God's favor. They honored God with their faith and God honored their faith. Faith pleases God and He delights in rewarding us when we by faith obey Him by stepping out and doing what He's asked us to do. When you surrender, Romans 12:1, it's acceptable to God. Did you know that? When I yield myself to God, God said, I'll accept that. I'll take that. We give ourselves to Him in service. He gives us His enablement, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. You can teach that boy's Sunday school class. You can teach that girl's class. You can sing in the choir. You can sing that special. You can share your faith. You can. How do you know that? Because you can do all things through Christ. 10 most powerful words in the English language. You can. You want to give? He'll supply your need. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap all. Remember, there's a law of sowing and reaping. We reap what we sow. And it's in the area of giving. If I sow, I reap. I sow, I reap. I sow bountifully, I reap the blessings bountifully. God opens the windows of heaven. He pours out His blessing. We know this. We reap more than we sow, don't we? You plant one seed in the ground, you get a whole lot of seed out of the ground. Ain't it amazing God said, give me 10% and I'm going to let... Can I help you to understand? I'm amazed at God. He doesn't just meet my needs. He's went above and beyond that. How many would say amen right there? Amen. But yet a lack of faith displeases God. Faith works because God is, does, can, and will. You can trust Him. Nothing too hard, nothing too big for our God. Faith honors God and God honors faith. Let me ask you a question. What do you need to believe Him for tonight? Maybe somebody here tonight, you need to believe Him for salvation. You've never been saved. You've never trusted Christ as Savior. Tonight you need to believe Him for salvation. Maybe you need to surrender your life. Young person, maybe tonight you need to lay all your dreams on the altar and say, God, I'm giving You my dreams because I want Your dreams. That's faith. It is. Maybe there's a young couple. You need to surrender your family to God and say, God, we're going to do family Your way. Maybe there's Christians here and you've been saved for years, but you need to step out in faith and start serving or sharing your faith or giving or tithing. Maybe you need to trust Him with your family, your finances. Maybe it's the salvation of a family member. Maybe it's a wayward son or daughter and you don't think God can reach them. Maybe tonight you need to come and say, God, You can. You can. I'm going to believe You, God. You can. Maybe tonight you need to slip forward and say, God, You can. Maybe you need to do that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Do you have the assurance tonight if you died, you'd go to heaven? Do you have that?